Will you join me as we pray over the word this morning? Father, thank you for your word. We open our hearts to your word. And Father, we just settle it right now that your word is our final authority. We settle it right now, Lord. If your word says it, we believe it. We settle it right now, Father. If we find it in your word, it belongs to us. Amen. Hallelujah. It can be a living reality in our lives. So we open our hearts to your word today. Thank you, Lord, that your word renews our minds, that your word heals our bodies. Thank you, Lord, that your word is life to us. Jesus, you said, my words are spirit and they are life. Lord, we believe you when you said that. So let your words be spirit and life to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, these are the words of Jesus here. This is what Jesus himself said. And I want to call your attention particularly to something that he said in verse number 17. He says, these signs will follow those who believe. How many believers do I have in here? You're a believer in Jesus Christ. All right? If you are, raise your hand. Keep it up for a minute. I mean, you know, keep it up. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, raise your hand. Just hold it up. Just indulge me for a moment, if you would. Praise God. All right. Jesus said, these signs will follow you then. If you're a believer, these signs will follow you. I want you to say these signs follow me because I'm a believer. Well, what signs did he talk about? He said, the number one sign, or the first sign that he mentions is, he said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. In our own name? In his name. Amen. In other words, he authorized us to use his name. Believers are authorized to use the name of Jesus. That's why it didn't work when those seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, it says that they came along, they were Jewish exorcists, and they said, we adjure you. This man was demon-possessed, and they said, we adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. They didn't know him. They were not believers, and they were not authorized, and Scripture is very clear about that and tells us what happened, that that man turned and beat them up and stripped their clothes off of them. And somebody said that was the first event of streaking ever recorded. When these men took off, you know, running from this guy because they were not authorized users of the name of Jesus. But we are. If you're a believer, you are an authorized user, amen, of the name of Jesus. And he said that sign number one is, in my name they will cast out demons. And then the second thing he said, here's what I want to focus on today. They will speak with new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. Jesus authorized believers to speak with new tongues. And speaking in tongues is one of the signs that is to follow believers in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Praise God. But many believers in Jesus do not speak in tongues. And others who have spoken in tongues really don't understand the value of speaking and praying in tongues on a consistent and a regular basis. And so that's why I'm sharing this with you this morning. Somebody says, well, but Pastor, I already know that. Well, maybe you do, and maybe you not only know it, but maybe you're established in it. You know, Peter talked about, I think I mentioned this Wednesday night, Peter talked about, he said, I'm writing these things to you, he said, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, even though you know and are established in the present truth. So there may be a lot of folks in here that you know what I'm about to share, you know these things, and maybe several even established in the present truth. But in either case, it will help you. Praise God. It'll stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Sometimes we need to have things stirred up. Why? Because they lie dormant. Because we forget about the purpose and the value and the power of these great truths and these great realities. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And I was impressed during this week to the Holy Spirit started speaking to my heart and impressing on my heart to share along these lines. And he also impressed me to pick up a book that I've read parts of, but I've not read all of it. It's a big book. I consider it a big book. I have read Eric Metaxas' biography on Bonhoeffer, which is over 600 pages. That's a big book there in small print. But I'm used to reading, you know, mini books, you know, 32 pages. I like those. Amen. This is a few hundred pages, 200 or 300 pages, I guess. But it's called Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. And it's actually a compilation of all the teachings that Dad Hagen did. They compiled these after he passed away. All the teaching that he had, all the notes that he had, on the subject of speaking and praying in tongues. And I was impressed to get that book out. And I started reading. I didn't start with chapter one. I started way back at the preface. And I got something out of the preface that just blessed me and confirmed to me that I was supposed to share this with you this week, or at least starting this week. And they're going to put that on the screen, and I'll share it with you right now. This is what Dad Hagen wrote in the preface of the book. Years ago, the Lord told me that there are some areas of prayer and intercession that will be lost unless we who are experienced in prayer somehow get those truths over to this present generation. God needs more people of prayer to get the job done on this earth. How many of you believe that? Amen. I'm inviting you to be one of them and to start by learning more about the true scope and value of praying in other tongues. Praise God. So there's a purpose. God has a purpose in us looking at this and in me sharing these things with you today and over the next couple of weeks. We'll see how long it takes us to cover this, but we're gonna stir you up about the value and the purpose of speaking and praying in other tongues. Why? Because God needs people of prayer to get the job done in the earth. Amen. Amen. There's some things he wants to do and needs to do in the earth, but he needs people on earth. He needs folks cooperating with him. Amen. We're not here just to hang around until Jesus comes back. We're here. He said, occupy till I come. Amen. 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 Praise God. So this is what we're going to do. So Jesus said, in my name, they will speak with new tongues. So he authorized it. Amen. Jesus is the one that authorized speaking with tongues. Praise God. So where did it begin? Where does this phenomenon or this experience of speaking in tongues, where does it begin? Well, you won't find speaking in tongues in the Old Testament. Nobody did it then. You won't find Jesus speaking, and there's no record of Jesus speaking in tongues in the New Testament. Why? Because this manifestation, this gift of speaking in tongues is distinctive and it's unique to what we call this dispensation, the church age that we're living in now. It is unique to our time. It is distinctive to our time that we're living in now. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit, accompanied by the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, as we'll look at in the Scriptures, this was really one of the main things that Jesus gave his disciples instructions about before he ascended to heaven, if you think about it. I think I heard Pastor Carl, I was changing, but I think I heard him talking about the commandment that Jesus gave us. A new commandment I give to you. Well, that was one of the main things that he stressed before he went back to heaven. Actually, he did that right before the crucifixion, right before his death. He said a new commandment, as you heard this morning, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Amen. He stressed that. And we can see that he stressed the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. We talked about that in baptism from Matthew 28. We talked about it, and we read it here in Mark chapter 16. He stressed that. Take this message of what I've done, that I died for the sins of the world, that I shed my blood, and now I'm risen from the dead. Take this message to the world. Take this good news. This belongs to everybody. This is the privilege of everyone to hear this and believe it and be saved. Take it to everyone. He stressed that, didn't he? Yes. And then he stressed this. He stressed the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then again, it's accompanied by the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, it was one of the main things. Jesus didn't say, now guys, you need to have this, but really, you know, it's not that big a deal. You know, it's kind of take it or leave it. And it's kind of, well, you know, you don't have to have this, but, you know, just be kind of a nice thing to have in your life. No, he stressed it as a main thing. He didn't say, now we're going to put this, now we believe in this, but, you know, we're not going to talk about it on Sunday morning. You know, this is going to be something that's relegated to the back room. You know, we believe in this, but, you know, we don't want people to think we're weird. And so we're not going to talk about this, you know, very much. No, no, he made it one of the main things.
Amen.
Didn't he? You read the book of Acts, you read the first chapter of the book of Acts, and which is what we're going to read here. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Now, he already told them to go, but he said, wait, not yet. Go, but you need something before you go. Amen. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, the previous verses said he met with them and speaking to them concerning the things of the kingdom of God. None of those other things are mentioned. Were they important? I'm sure they were. But this one is mentioned. This one is talked about a lot. Why? Because it's one of the main things, along with the commandment of love, along with the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He tells them, you need this experience. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Everybody say, upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, he had authorized them. Now he was empowering them. You need to be authorized and you need to be empowered. Amen. And thank God we've been given both. We've been given the authority and we've been given the power to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So they returned to Jerusalem. They were there at the Mount of Olives. They returned to Jerusalem and they went into the upper room and they began to pray and wait on God. They were there 10 days. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, so they obeyed Jesus. They did what he said. They didn't take any shortcuts. They said, well, I think we can go ahead and go. I mean, you know, we don't need to wait on this. No, they obeyed him, didn't they? Hallelujah. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so they came out of that. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says here very clearly that they were all filled and they began to speak. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they came out of the upper room. The crowd was in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And they hear this commotion. And they come out of the upper room and Peter begins to preach. He says, we're not drunk as you suppose, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass in the last day, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And he starts to preach. He starts to preach about Jesus. And at the end of his message, he blamed Jesus for everything that had just happened. Look at verse 32 of Acts 2. He says, he concludes his message by saying this, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So Jesus is to blame for this. Jesus is the one that did this, Peter said. Amen? Praise God. I remember my own experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was at the end of my senior year in high school, and I've got witnesses here today that knew of me in my former days, as Paul wrote and as others wrote in the scripture. But we, a few of us in here grew up in the same church together. And I remember at the end of my senior year in high school, I had a friend that invited me, a friend from school invited me to a Bible study. And I started hearing about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't long. It was just within a few weeks after I first went to that Bible study that I decided I was going to get in the chair. The prayer chair. That's where they put you when they prayed for you to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And I, with my good Baptist background, I was raised to believe the Bible. I was raised to believe if you find it in the Bible, praise God, then you can accept it and believe it. And so I found it in the Bible. I thought, hey, it's right here. It's right here in the Bible. This is an experience that God wants me to have. I think I'll have it. Praise God. And so they prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't speak in tongues that night. We were all just kind of stumbling along. We didn't know a whole lot. We were hungry for God. I didn't speak in tongues. I think I've shared with you before that I thought the Holy Spirit was going to make me speak in tongues. So I kind of stuck my tongue out a little bit. Okay, here's my tongue, Holy Spirit. And nothing happened. I didn't speak in tongues. Well, I discovered later that, no, we have to yield to Him. He gave the utterance, but I do the speaking. We have to cooperate. He's not going to take your tongue over and make you talk in tongues. He gives you the utterance. It comes up out of here, but then you yield and you do the speaking. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, some of you in here, particularly you younger folks that are in here, you may not appreciate fully the depth and the power of this experience because you were raised in it. Because some of you in here, you grew up, in these things. We didn't. This was all brand new. This was all new to us. Some of you guys are raised in it, and so it's a good. The positive side of that is, there's something that you've had the privilege of walking in all your life. The negative side is, because of that, you can kind of take it for granted. Because of that, you can kind of say, oh, well, I was filled with the Spirit. I spoke in tongues. It's not that big a deal. It was a life-changing experience for me. Amen. It absolutely was. And, my wife, her experience is very similar. She was off at college about this same time. And she found out about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She'd read in the Bible about the Comforter. And she was having a hard time. She was away from home for the first time. And she was facing new challenges being in college. And she said, Lord, where? She was a Christian. She loved the Lord. And she read that in the Bible. And she said, where is this Comforter? I need Him. And so God answered her prayer and led her, directed her to a group of people that were filled with the Holy Spirit and shared that experience with her. And she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So these things back in our day in 1979, this was a life-changing experience for us. Praise God. It was powerful. Praise God. And I remember, again, going back to the church that we grew up in, it caused quite a stir there. And it was not exactly welcomed there. My brother here on the front row, he's nervously laughing because I'm going to bring him into the story now because he was actually on the deacon board. And just maybe a little less than a year after we got, and we were so excited. You wanted everybody to get, if you were a heathen and you got saved and you got excited about it, you wanted to tell everybody, didn't you? You wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Well, See, my experience, I got saved as a kid, and so I didn't have a lot of heathen friends to tell them about Jesus. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, now that was a dramatic experience in my life, and I wanted to tell everybody. So we started sharing it with everybody. And as a result, we got called before the deacon board at our Baptist church. My brother was in an uncomfortable position. He loved me. And yet he was on the deacon board. Robin's uncle, I think, was the chairman of the deacon board at that time. And they basically told us, there was a few, I don't know how many of us, four or five, she didn't, I think she was kind of still in the shadows with this. And they didn't call her on the carpet, I don't think. You weren't in on the meeting, were you? I don't think so. But a few of us were. And so we, uh, they basically told us, you're welcome to stay. You correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. But you're welcome to stay in the church, but we don't want you sharing. This is not what we believe, and we don't want you sharing this. And these are all wonderful people. These men loved God. They loved the Lord with all their heart, and they would do anything in the world for you. And I, still love and respect and appreciate them today. And wonderful folks, but they didn't understand. And they said, we don't want this, we don't want you sharing this. You can stay, but you'll have to be quiet about this, is what I remember being said anyway. And so I thought about what the scripture said, and I think we probably found that scripture. Then I don't think we shared this in the meeting with them. But Acts chapter 4, verse 18, it says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Well, they weren't telling us not to teach in the name of Jesus. They believed that. That's how I got saved. I got saved in that church, thank God. Yep. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And that's the way we were. We couldn't help but speak the things that we'd seen and heard, so we decided not to stay. So I think most of us that had been called up there after, I don't know, right, if immediately we left, but over the next few weeks or months or whatever. And but anyway, again, I don't know, my Mike and Linda, they never, they never condemned me. They never shunned me. They never, nothing ever hindered our relationship, and I appreciate them for that. And then praise God, a few years later, they ended up here at the time was Coming New Life Church. And I had the privilege of praying with both of them to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember one Wednesday night praying for those four or five people had come forward to get filled with the Holy Spirit, my sister-in-law, Linda, being one of them, and prayed for those. And they started speaking in tongues, and I looked up, and my brother's there, and he said, you got time for one more. Hallelujah. What a privilege, what an honor that was, and privilege to be able to lay hands on my brother and have him filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. Amen? Yes. Praise God. And this is an experience that I found out back in that day, in that time, that is an experience that is subsequent to salvation. We have the Holy Spirit when we're saved. You're born of the Spirit, but there's another work of the Holy Spirit called being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come where? Upon you. The Holy Spirit's within you, but He also wants to come upon you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. See, those 120 followers of Jesus that were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, they had believed in Jesus. The Holy Spirit was in them. Jesus had breathed on them while He was still on the earth and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's when they got saved. That was after His resurrection. Praise God. He was within them, but on the day of Pentecost, He came upon them to empower them. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And so we see the record of that in Acts chapter 2. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues. Then we go over to the 8th chapter of Acts. Look there with me, if you would. Everybody still doing all right? Yes. Amen. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, but when they believed Philip, I know this is basic, but we're laying a foundation here. And we're stirring you up. Amen? In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. He was in Samaria. The church started being persecuted in Jerusalem. They had not really spread. And the church is being persecuted in Egypt right now, as Mary mentioned. But I hear reports that the church is thriving and growing and multiplying. That's usually what happens when the church is persecuted. Praise God. The devil always overplays his hand. Amen. And so Philip goes to Samaria, and the Bible says he preaches Christ, and he preaches things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, and men and women get baptized. Well, they're obviously saved. They're born again. They're saved. They have the Holy Spirit within them. They get baptized in water. He's talking about water baptism here. And then in verse 14, it says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon, everybody say upon. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they had been saved, baptized in water, but the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them. This is a subsequent experience to salvation. Then, verse 17, then they laid hands on them and they what? Received. They received the Holy Spirit. They didn't earn the Holy Spirit. They didn't qualify for the Holy Spirit. They didn't work for the Holy Spirit. They simply received the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now go with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And we'll start in verse 1. Acts 19, verse 1, it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them," notice the question here, "did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, what kind of believing is he talking about here? He's talking about believing on Jesus, isn't he?
Yes.
He's talking about when you believed on Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Did you receive the Holy Spirit at that same time? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Well, if we all automatically received all the Holy Spirit that there is when we believe on Jesus, this question would have been illogical,
right,
wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
I mean, this is further proof that being filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is a subsequent experience to the new birth or to salvation.
Amen.
Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." That's kind of the situation I was in as a young Baptist boy. I wasn't really taught against it, praise God. But I hadn't really heard anything. I guess I'd heard the term Holy Spirit, surely. But I didn't know he was a person. I didn't know I could be filled with him. I didn't know an experience that I could have that would empower me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'd not heard about that. Amen. They said, "We haven't heard about the Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." He said, "Well, I got to back up even another step here," because they had not even heard that Jesus had come, died on the cross. All they were acquainted with was the message of John the Baptist: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." A voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And so John came preaching a baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after him. Well, they didn't know that Jesus had come. They were ready, but they didn't know he had come. They'd been baptized by John. They'd repented. They were trying to follow God in that way. So Paul told them, verse 4, "Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this," verse 5, "they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So they believed on Jesus, they're saved, they're baptized in water. All right? That's the end of the story, right?
No.
Verse 6, and, everybody say and.
Amen.
So it's not the end of the story. "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So these folks got... after that, they were saved, but then Paul laid his hands on them and the Holy Spirit came upon them. That's the same thing as being filled with the Holy Spirit, or receiving the Holy Spirit, or being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They spoke with tongues and prophesied. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here in Acts chapter 19, it says Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So I said, wait a minute, Pastor David. In Acts chapter 8, it doesn't say they spoke with tongues when Peter and John laid hands on them. Well, you're exactly right. It doesn't say that, but the succeeding verses that we didn't take time to read tell us that when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, that he offered money to Peter and John, saying, "Give me this power also, on whomsoever I lay my hands, that they would receive the Holy Spirit." Now Simon earned his living with stuff like this. He's not going to offer money for something that he sees no evidence. What evidence would he have seen? Well, in every other incident, in every other account we have in the book of Acts, when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, the first thing that happened was they spoke with other tongues. Peter, we read it, Peter said about Jesus, when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, said, Jesus has poured out this which you now see and hear. And so Simon, the scripture says, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, what did he see? Well, he saw, obviously, and heard them speaking in other tongues. Amen? Amen. Praise God. The other account, of course, is with the Apostle Paul himself when Ananias laid hands on him and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we see in all these accounts, and we'll look at one more here now in Acts chapter 10, that when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, when they receive this experience subsequent to salvation, that they speak in tongues. Verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, Peter goes to preach at Cornelius' house. He's led supernaturally by God to go to Cornelius' house and preach to those folks that are gathered there. These are not Jewish people. And up to that time, they thought, well, we can only carry this message to Jews. And God was trying to open their, broaden their horizons and help them see, no, this is for the whole world. This is for everyone. So they wind up at Cornelius' house. He was a Roman centurion. And all the people, all of his family and servants and people he had influence with were gathered in his house. And Peter started preaching Jesus and talking about Jesus. In verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Now, we'll stop right here. Peter's preaching. He doesn't even have time to give an invitation or an altar call. I don't know if they gave altar calls back then. He didn't have time to even give that. He didn't have time to say, now, who wants to get saved? And he certainly didn't have time to say, who wants to get filled with the Holy Ghost? While Peter's preaching, these people believe it. They accept it. In their hearts, they call on Jesus. And before you know it, the Holy Spirit falls on them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit while Peter's still speaking. How did they know that? Well, verse number 46 says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So Peter's here trying to preach, and all of a sudden, all these people gathered in his house start speaking in tongues. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Amen. So in that instance, they did receive the Holy Spirit when they believed. It was just bang, bang, one right after the other, just like that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But then Paul had to ask in Acts 19, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? It is a subsequent, that's the point, 2 points. It is a subsequent experience, subsequent to salvation. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit when you're saved, but no, you need more. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be empowered. Amen? Amen. And then secondly, the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking with other tongues. Praise God. As well, Pastor, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, I feel like I am, but I don't think I have to speak into it. Well, nobody's going to make you speak in tongues. And somebody said, well, do you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven? You know, there's some groups, I don't know if they still do, but some groups teach that or used to. Brother Randy Greer talked about his uncle that was a Pentecostal preacher, Uncle Smut, they called him. Uncle Smut believed that you had to speak in tongues to go to heaven. And that from the scripture, that obviously wouldn't be the case because it's an experience subsequent to salvation. Your salvation is not dependent on speaking in tongues. No. But I ask you this, why wouldn't you want all that God has for you? Amen. Why wouldn't you want a New Testament experience? Amen. Why wouldn't you want a Bible experience? And so if you want a Bible experience, if you want a New Testament experience, then when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can, should, and will speak in other tongues. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Don't stop short of that. Amen. Don't be satisfied with anything less than that. So, let's go beyond, though, and we'll just introduce this today, and we'll talk about it more next week. Some people stop right there. Some people say, yeah, I was filled with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago and spoke in tongues. Well, what about today? Oh, well, no, I hadn't spoken in tongues since then. Well, you stopped way short then. You only recognized just the one initial beginning aspect. of the importance and the value of speaking in other tongues. And so let's look beyond the initial evidence. There's a man by the name of Howard Carter. We'll put his something up about him. Howard Carter, he was the general supervisor of the Assemblies of God in Great Britain. He lived from 1891 to 1970, died in 1971. And he was one of the pioneers of the Pentecostal movement in Great Britain. He was the founder of the oldest Pentecostal Bible school in the world. And he pointed out, it says, Carter pointed out that we must not forget that speaking with other tongues is not only the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling, but is a continual experience for the rest of one's life. For what purpose? To assist us in the worship of God. To assist us in the worship of God. How many of you believe that it's good to have some assistance in the worship of God? How many of you believe it's a good thing to worship God? How many of you would like to worship God just as fully and completely that you can? Amen. Well, you need this to assist us in the worship of God. Speaking in tongues is a flowing stream which should never dry up and will enrich the life spiritually. Yeah. How many of you think that there's value in your life being enriched spiritually? Yes. Amen? Yes. It will enrich the life spiritually. It's a flowing stream which should never dry up. Amen. Well, thank God that stream has never dried up in my life. Amen. How about your life? How about you? Don't let that flowing stream dry up. Don't lose sight of the value and the importance of speaking and praying in other tongues. It's a flowing stream that should never dry up and will enrich the life spiritually. Dad Hagen went on to say this about it. He said, God has given each of us a supernatural means of edifying ourselves or building ourselves up spiritually. God has given to us a supernatural means of communicating with and worshiping Him. Are you, as a Spirit-filled believer, taking full advantage of the gift of tongues? That's my question to you this morning. Are you, as a Spirit-filled believer, taking full advantage of the gift of tongues? Is there more to Christianity than speaking in tongues? Absolutely. There's a lot more. But this is an important thing that we shouldn't lose sight of. Amen? This is an important thing that we shouldn't say, well, some folks would even say, oh, well, I've grown beyond that. You can't grow beyond this. Amen? You know, when you grow up, you know, your body grows and changes, but you say, you know, you don't say to your feet, you know, about your feet, well, I've grown beyond them. I had feet when I was a baby. I don't need feet anymore. You don't do that, do you? Huh? No? Amen. You still use your feet, don't you? Amen. No, you don't grow beyond this. You don't grow beyond the new birth. You don't grow beyond being born again. You would just add to. We just expand. We just develop. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen. And here's an area you don't grow beyond. Here's an area that you say, well, I don't need that anymore. Or, oh, well, I've moved on. Well, you've moved in the wrong direction than if you've moved on. Amen. Let's get back to this. Let's get back to walking in the power and the reality of speaking in other tongues and praying in other tongues. And we're going to, you know, we're going to follow that to that admonition. Can you put the original slide up there that I had from that I read out of that book, Rhett? Can you go back to that and put that back up? That just really hit my heart and really spoke to me. No, the one about Brother Hagen. Back to the first one, first slides, first two slides we had up there. That just really spoke to me when I read that years ago. The Lord told me there are some areas of prayer and intercession that'll be lost unless we who are experienced in prayer somehow get those truths over to this present generation. I'm taking that as a personal commission. Amen. I'm taking that as a personal word from the Lord. I believe it was. Through what I read here, I believe God spoke to me and said, you need to do this. You need to emphasize this. Hallelujah. So we don't lose this in our present generation. Amen. Prayer and intercession, is there value in prayer and intercession? Amen. Well, there's some areas of prayer. Now, certainly we can pray with our understanding. Certainly we can pray, according to the Word of God and pray the Scriptures and pray with our understanding. But there are some areas of prayer and intercession that we can only move into as we pray and speak in other tongues. Amen. Are you hearing me? You young people, are you hearing me? Amen. He's talking about you. We got to get these truths over to this present generation. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful, that you're good. Lord, we thank you for stirring up our hearts, for stirring us up by putting us in remembrance of these things. And Father, we just purpose in our hearts, Lord, we're not going to let these truths slip. We're not going to let these things just fade away, but we're going to walk in the reality and the power and the truth of one of the things that you emphasized very strongly, Lord, before you ascended back into heaven, the instructions you gave your disciples. You talked about them being filled with the Holy Spirit. You authorized, you said, in my name, they will speak with new tongues. Lord, we take that seriously today. Lord, we realize that you're the one that said that. You're the one that emphasized that. And we remember it today, and we stir our hearts up, Lord, to walk in these things in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that.